Yeah, man, it's going down. It's Donnie Houston Podcast. I am Donnie Houston. Check it out, man. We got a special guest today, man. Two special guests, man. I've been knowing these guys, man, for a long time, man. You know, so I've been putting it down for a long time. You know, just, you know, producing, man. I'm talking about everything, man, from Slim to Zero to Boosie to whoever, man. Got one of the most popping studios in the city, you know what I'm saying? Brand new, renovated, you know what I'm saying? Hey, man, they just be doing their thing, man. You know what I'm saying? That's G&B, man.
The Razzle Dazzle.
Gavin and B-Dun. What's up?
Yes, what's up with it, man?
How y'all boys doing, man?
We chilling, my brother.
What's going on?
What's the dealio?
Chilling. What's up, man?
Same old, same
That's
old.
How you know it's back there, boy. Yeah. I'm by my government.
No, bull.
I say Gavin and B-Dun.
I was going Gavin Luckett and Brandon Peach.
Yeah, I thought you were about to do that,
I was going to do y'all like that.
You know boys That's go cool. back when boys do you like that. That's when you ain't had to say the intro. No, they go back.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, that boy college boy, that's it.
DJ Dunn.
That's that roll call.
DJ Dunn.
Yeah. Still store this DJ Dunn in my phone.
Facts.
That's how I know people.
Facts.
That's how I know people that tell me that. Like, man, I had your DJ Dunn. I'm like, shit.
Now one day I was looking for your number and I was like, ain't no way in hell.
I typed in Donnie Houston in my phone and did not have.
As soon
like,
as
no
I hit D O N, DJ Dunn came up and I was like, well, I be damned.
Yeah.
But man, what's going down with y'all boys, man?
Man, shit, steady working. You know, same old, same
living
old.
Life.
Y'all got the OTB record, you know what I'm saying, right
yeah.
now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look like money just dropped. Mm-hmm. Go stream that.
Mm-hmm. Talk about
Shout out to OTB, man.
Yeah, we've been going crazy been working
OTB
with
lately. Yeah. We've been going crazy over the last 2 years.
Crazy. You was telling me that. He one of the ones. He going to do all the beat. He going
to. I ain't want
to come in the studio session in a 4 hour. Let's say we have a 4 hour block. He's knocking out 4 or 5 songs easy.
Every night.
Whole song. Hook. Yeah.
Whole songs. Yeah. Hook, verse, and maybe another verse, but for the most part, hook, verse, hook.
He gonna kill
it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he gonna kill it. And then what he do is when he come back in the next day, he's gonna put another verse on the ones that he left empty. Plus do new songs.
Facts.
Yeah, his grind is crazy. Yeah.
His grind is crazy. And I don't like to do the... Man, he the hardest working rapper in the city. Cause, you know, there might be somebody working hard. We don't know.
He's one of them. There's a lot of hard workers.
As far as
there,
what we see, he's a. If he ain't at our studio, he at somebody else's studio. If we don't see him that night, he gonna be somewhere else. So it's like
facts.
What he's doing isn't on accident. When he'll come in there, like I'm taking over the summer. You know, he top like that. But you see him going. Well, you probably gonna take over the summer. You know? Keep doing all this.
Facts.
One of y'all gonna pick up.
Well, some gonna pick up around it, and his ideas be crazy too. You know, he give you the idea for the beat. Like, yeah, I want to do this. I want to redo that. I want to do that.
Yeah, I want to say, Look Like Money was his idea.
It was. He wanted that.
Yeah, man. Do y'all still be excited about like making music and shit? Yeah, I took a break from it to do this, and you know what I mean. But like y'all be going still. You know what I'm saying? Straight the whole time.
It's work. Cause music keep evolving, and we evolve with the music. So it's exciting making new records. With the upcoming artists and all that.
We never got mad at the music, I feel. Like, you know, a lot of people that have been in the game a long time, either you gonna go with what's going on or kinda like, you know, when somebody, I don't say falling off, but when they start hating on everything, man, you know, niggas don't want music no more. Niggas ain't rapping no more. It's like, nigga, that catch up was heading.
Right. You gotta continue. If you wanna stay in the game, you gotta stay in the game.
If you stay in the game, you'll sit here and listen and feel like, man, there's some talented folk out here that, you know what I'm saying? That, you know, how we was just talking, I'm like, oh yeah, he whack. Well, nah, you gotta go listen to him because he all right, though. You listen to him. So I don't think a lot of people, the youngins, a chance enough. You know what I'm saying?
Do y'all think, because, you know, they just had the situation with Takeoff out here. Do y'all think it's not people saying, like, the music kind of, like, is affecting, like, the temperature of what's going on because it's so much?
In a sense.
What's going on? Do y'all feed into that theory? Y'all believe that?
In a sense, it makes sense. You talking about as far as music, like influencing the youth? Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I believe so.
For sure, for sure.
Why not? It's like they Bible, you know, when you wake
up. Social media too, but for sure.
Social media for sure. Like, even just, you could be somewhere, not necessarily talking about that instant, but if me and you having a problem with each other, it's gonna get handled different if we were standing in here. Or as if we were somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, if we was here, we could probably handle it. If we here and it's a whole bunch of people and females around, I think it's going to get handled different. Not amongst us two, but you know, amongst men, people are different. So, I feel like social media. Those phones out, I can't let up.
Hold on. So, yeah. So, do y'all ever feel, being kind of like old in the game, do y'all ever feel the need to kind of like, nudge the artist sometime and say, hey man, let's cut down a little bit on the killing and the dealing.
For sure. A little bit. We big homies to a lot of the newer artists when it comes to them and the content of their music. I'm pretty much one of the ones that I always say, hey, you ain't got to say that this time. Let's switch it up. You know what I'm saying? You got 50 million songs like that already. Let's talk about something else.
I'm quick to hit them with the image. Like, fam, you ain't really got to put the gun in there. You know what I'm saying? You don't got to put the gun in there. You really kind of cool. You really knocking yourself from certain things that you could be. It's a gun in there, fam. We can't put it here. It's a, you know what I'm saying? You don't necessarily got to have your flag out. You know what I'm saying? If you fighting the case, don't play yourself. Hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Because this shit real.
So, I always encourage the different look, you know what I'm saying? Do something different. When we go on IG and go on all these social platforms, everybody kind of look the same sometimes. So I kind of put it there more than don't do that, because, you tell them not have a gun. What you mean? Nah, I'm just, everybody else doing that, bro. You ain't got to really do that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I be trying to tell artists, stop having all the jury on their videos. For every sure. video, you don't got to have your jury on. Have a video to where it's a storyline or something behind it. You acting in it or something. And every scene doesn't require you to be cubing up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm
He'll
always
be working
encouraging
as
that.
A work wash a tear worker, but got all his jury on. It's like, come on, let's do some acting, bro. You know, let's not cut you. I seen
the
video with Dolph like that.
The time, yeah.
Dolph like did, it seemed like he didn't cut his hair for the scene. You know what I'm saying? When he was showing, I wouldn't have money here, money had here. Another rapper would do the same thing. He fresh fade.
He gonna be bust down.
He bust down, but got on the. You was working at the gas station with that on, fam. Come on, chill out. Like, you know what I'm saying? They don't get in the character like they should. And then sometimes the song ain't called for it. And when you know it's one that we preach a lot, but a lot of times it's to the CEO. Don't flood your artists with your money. Meaning, if he on charger level right now, and we follow him on the ground, I mean, you got to make him broke. But, if he on charger level right now, let's put some good scat packs in there. But don't throw a phantom in his first video, because now we can't grow with him. Mm-hmm. What's in the second video? A jet. Mm-hmm. And then after you get the jet, you got to go to NASA. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing else you can put. We can't love him. You know what I'm saying? We can't fall in love with him because I feel like that's why a lot of athletes, artists don't work. You know what I'm saying? Because
they come out already
on. Facts. Name one athlete that got an artist that's shooting on right now.
And if he did, you don't know the athlete is a part of
it. Well, Carl Crawford technically probably one of the few.
Yeah, it worked for the female, for sure.
Okay.
But generally speaking,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Prime example, the Meek Mill and Lil Snoop. And then what's the football nigga name?
Deshaun Jackson.
And his rapper.
Mm-hmm.
It was a clear night and day difference between the artists that they had. Deshaun, the football player, his rapper was rapping about Rolls Royces and Bentleys and whoop de whoop de whoop. He's rapping his life. Snoop was rapping about I ain't eight in 3 days and mama on crack, whoop de whoop de whoop. You know what I'm saying? That's why we don't even know the other guy's rapper name. We don't even remember his name.
Right.
What's his name? You know it?
Arthur McDaniel.
But we know Lil Snoop. It ain't had nothing to do with Meek Mill. It's just the content of his music.
He was spitting real.
Yeah, it was real shit.
You could tell his daddy wasn't in his house. You know what I'm saying? that was a good one. Yeah, facts.
Man, let's go back a little bit, though, because y'all boys,
How far you want to go back?
We finna go, because I know y'all. So we
finna go back.
Wait. Boy, Gavin, did you used to do commercials when you was little, bro?
Yeah.
I did.
My
mom okay, talk about that, bro, because I mean that's the one. You my partner for sure. The cool thing is that you really did have an opportunity to come up doing that. You know what I'm saying? Your sister doing the Destiny Child thing. You kind of just having that
ain't
whole.
No shame in that. Every now and then I try to post something on my gram. You ever stop playing with me in this acting, man? You know what I'm saying? But it was a school I went to, St. James, actually, where my sister met Beyonce at. It was elementary. When I did my first movie, I was with Angela Bassett and Joe Martin. I was four or five, but they came to the school scouting. A lady that knew somebody in the movie came to the school scouting for some Houston kids and making that part. And that kind of started my mom on.
So what movie was this with Angela Bassett?
Challenger. an ABC 13 movie. It was a space shuttle that blew up, and it had a black pilot on there, whose name, well, it was Joe Martin. Ronald McNair is who Joe Martin played, and Angela Bassett played his wife, and I was their kid, and that got my mom into like kind of entertainment, like, you know what I'm saying.
Hmm.
Now I start doing
this
commercials.
This is before your sister and them doing the group thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you jumped out of court first.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. My mom always jokes, like, it's funny because your sister was sitting on the set crying, like,
when I'm gonna get my turn.
Yeah, she's my older sister, like, whatever. But then, bam, hand the ball off, you reverse it. but she had us both. That I think that opened her eyes to auditions for me. Auditions for my sister started doing pageants. You know what I'm saying? My mama kind of saw that over anything. So she always believed in both our dreams. So yeah, I did like little local commercials, Fingers Furniture. I think I did some Gallery Furniture, Star Furniture. I was a furniture guy, you know what I'm saying?
Well, save you money.
And this way, you like, what, like 5-6 years old type?
5-6 years old. I probably stopped acting like 7-8 grade when I thought I was too cool to do it, I think. You know, your kids, you don't really understand. It's like, man, I'm trying to play football, kid. I ain't trying to
right, this ain't audition. What the other kids are doing.
Yeah.
Not knowing, like, now it could have been.
Dice, though. Shout out to DJ Dice. That's how I met him.
That wish was Dice like, was doing the acting thing, too?
Dice had the Metro commercial. When we was in middle school, most people. Look, what's funny is we really met. The World Is a Ghetto video.
Scarface. Ghetto Boys.
That's where me and Dice met. And he
wait, so what y'all had to do with that video?
Dice in the video.
He made it. I did.
He's the little kid that the parents holding it, like the son of the parents.
No shit.
It's a storyline in that video. Yeah.
Go back
He's
and look at that son. Video. That's Dice. Go look at World Is a Ghetto video. That's Dice.
Shout out to DJ Dice.
Yeah, for sure. That was like my brother growing up. Like, if you saw him, you saw me. And we met each other at that video audition. But he made it. I didn't. So he got the part. I didn't. And then I would always see him at auditions. I was with like Pastorini and Bosby. That's like an agent out of Houston. And we would get stuff. We would kind of become competition. We would get casted for the same stuff. But then he smashed me twice. Pause. He Metro commercial. You know what I'm saying? Metro commercial, like my sixth grade, seventh grade year at school, he got like the Metro commercial and we going to school and I'm having to like, I auditioned for that whole too. You know what I'm saying? But I guess they want the little yellow brother, you know what I'm saying? The brown skin wasn't that out there. So he got all them parts, you know what I'm saying? So me and him met on the acting thing. But yeah, I was acting, I mean trying at least.
So okay, this school, what kind of school is this that you and your sister and Beyonce and all y'all going?
St. James Private School, Third Ward, Texas, right behind school. Turner. Yeah, regular, like some people went to St. Mary's or like a regular private school. And
are they forming a group then, or are they just meeting, becoming friends and all?
Okay, at that time the group was already together, but Toy was at the school. But we've been at school our whole life. Beyonce ended up coming to the school like they 7-8 grade year, you know what I'm saying? And she was like the new popular girl. And I think she tells the story all the time is, you know, you come to school, you've been there your whole life. You know everybody, you know. And she walk in class and Beyonce sitting in her chair. She late, you know, I would be late to school. Shout out to my mom, she'd be mad if she heard that. We'll be always late. And she get in, Beyonce sitting in her chair and she kind of like, ain't nobody give her the memo. Like, you know, who this? You know what I'm saying? And that kind of happened, and they end up becoming close. And at the time, it was like a 5-girl group. And she was like, we trying to. I remember she going on an audition and ended up like being in the group. But back then, it was called like Girls Time. Mm-hmm. Or they done went through Girls Time, The Dolls. Was it something fresh? It was a whole bunch of night. They had been grounded since young. Like nonstop grinding. That's why sometimes it's hard for, I'm gonna say us, to work with an R&B singer when we don't see you like, you wanting them kind of goals. But I actually watched them girls run.
I remember you telling me that. Why are you
singing heels? Yeah. Singing their songs. Matthew was Joe Jackson. You know what I'm saying? It used to be camps. Like I'd be at the house and we got to go drop my sister some food because you know.
It's ain't a day feeding out there.
Them how they supposed to feed. You know, your mama, you're not like that, like, you know, no jailhouse, nothing, but like, I mean, it's four girls and they parents and they trying to make it. It might not be enough food or, you know, they ain't with us. So I remember my mama coming over there in the middle of the night dropping off food and stuff, but he would have camps at his house with them. Like, they stay there. So, nah, I remember I was watching that. They used to grind. Like, It wasn't no plan. That's why I see as Beyonce and my sister too, like, in their careers now, they like, they're not lazy.
Their work ethic
is because they were taught that as kids, like, you know. So yeah, I definitely watch that coming up and see, okay, that's what it take to be what you want to be, you know what I'm saying? So but yeah, it was a private school in Third Ward, and that's where they met. But they have been going at it since then, like, just trying to get there.
So then, okay, boom. But then now we're in middle school. You stop doing acting because you whatever. Okay, now when do you get the bug to say, well, shit, I'm finna just get a music shot then? When do you, and be on YouTube as well? You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna say in middle school, honestly, I was like, you know, thinking out Emmitt Smith, so I wanted to play football. And then, honestly, Dice really got me started on music. But if we really want to go there, because this is Donna Houston podcast, fuck it, I'm gonna tell you what's happening. You know what I'm saying? Y'all call him Charleston, I call him Gerard, Exotic Pop, the owner of Exotic Pop. He had a record label in middle school, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, when you see him selling tapes out of his what's the name, it made me go, I need to do some music. And they wasn't really my clique at the time. So, you know, you're going to kind of go do your own thing now, but not going against what they was doing. But all right, let's figure this out, Dice. And Dice, I wanted to DJ. And Dice's parents came through with them tables. So I remember sitting in the guitar, sitting in the back of the car, like, that's some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever, not hating, but my boy got the turntable, so I got to find something else to do. And he ended up having a little Casio keyboard in there, and me feeling like, well, let me try to figure something out. And I remember going to Atlanta, I knew Tip. They said in our family hustle, Tip and my sister used to talk. And I remember being a young boy thinking I'm a producer and being at Tip crib, and he had like a Triton cat or Trinity. And I ended up like making a beat. And I mean, it was trash, you know what I'm saying? He come through and like swagged it out, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, you could just do this, do that. And I remember at that point, I was like, you know what I'm saying? This could be something. But then I remember being at Dice house one night, and I was making a beat, and Dice would always fall asleep. And one day I made a beat. He fell asleep. That's when you had to, if you want to add some drums, you put it on a CD, and then you want to add a melody, you burn that CD to this one. You know, it's a whole hell of air, you know what I'm saying? And I ended up making the beat and leaving it on the last CD, leaving it, going home. I had a car at the little Mars that time I'm in school. And Dice like stole his mama car the next morning, pulled up at the crib and was like jamming the song, jamming the beat at his mama Volvo. He's like, nigga, you a genius, nigga, you a genius. Now I'm gonna keep it real. This is probably eighth grade or something, you know, ninth grade. And I say he took his mama Volvo and came over there and was like, you a genius, you a genius. And in my mind, it was like, ain't nobody ever really that just called me no genius before. And I think that kind of made me say, okay, I want to produce. And then that's when I met him. And he was rapping at the time.
He was all rapping.
Yeah. I ain't want to say
don't
me.
Skip that part.
I ain't
yeah,
going
to all rapping.
We did a song.
But yeah, we didn't meet to high school.
10th grade. I met him in 9th grade, but I think we started rocking in like 10th grade. Bro, yeah. After we had class together.
Yeah. I've been around music my whole life too, but I ain't realized I wanted to do music until high
school. Didn't your old man play with Prince and all that?
Yeah, he's a part of Prince's crew, and his wife worked for Priority Records for years. She worked like the No Limit division. So like I grew up around No Limit, grew up around Prince. Like I'm talking as a teenager.
I went to Prince.
I grew up here. I mean, I was raised in Texas, but for the summer, my old man lived in LA. So I would spend every summer with him. So I'm in studio to studio. But not realizing that's what I was going to eventually end up doing with my life.
Spend time with your man. That's just what he doing.
And that's what he do. We in different studios every day. And it wasn't until, I ain't gonna lie, it kind of did give me like a feeling like, okay, I do want to do something in the music industry when I'm around it. At that age, but it wasn't until high school when we linked up. We linked up because him and Dice had a record label. Mm-hmm. What was it, Dice? What was it, Diamond City Records?
Diamond City.
It was Diamond City Records.
All right. And fuck it, I'm gonna say it. Diamond City.
So boom.
Cash Money Era, not Bling Era, Bling Bling. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
So they had a label already, and I was like part time rapping my damn self, so we hooked up on some shit like that. And, we realized one day, like,
well, we did a song when we first started kicking it. He came to the crib. We didn't really know what we was doing like that, but we both rapped and made a whole song.
Mm-hmm.
We did a whole song
But we didn't have beats.
Right.
We didn't know where to get beats from.
Right. Mm.
So that's what started us on the beats. Mm-hmm. And then since
we made the beat about, together. We made the beat together.
Since
and
he wanted, all right, so boom. So this is like 19th grade. We link up on some rap shit, do a song, and realize we can't get no more beats or whatever. And Big Sis came through the clutch. Got him a Triton keyboard. And that's what started us making beats right there. Like,
well, the Triton
keyboard is what the Neptunes was using at the time. Mm-hmm. And she got us that. And we was lit after that. We started making beats.
Trying to figure it out.
Trying to figure it out. Nobody showed us how to make beats. We
how
just
long
knew.
It took y'all? Because I'm going to tell you how long it took
that.
Me.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. All right, so I'm talking like this is.
But I'm talking before you make that one where you're like, okay, I'm jamming.
Right, so I'm talking 2001, 2002.
It'll be like
when we started making beats. When did Robin O'Sinnin come out?
That was that? Way out. That was like we did the beat in like 2007. But
okay, I'm trying to make a point.
To like 2007 is when we did the beat. The beat actually came out like 2009.
Okay, we did it the beat in 07. So from 2002 to 2007, that's how long it took us to get good. Because Robin O'Sinnin was our first major placement with a. Like outside of our homeboys rapping on our beats.
This is what we got though. I'ma still agree with him on us feeling like we could do this because we had a record that came out before that, which was on my sister's album.
Oh yeah, we did the intro and outro.
But I can't sit here and say then we felt like,
even though we got the platinum pack play and everything, we still didn't feel like at that time like we was. I ain't gonna lie. We do a lot of hip hop music, traveling and hitting the road with Big Sis. And sitting in the studio with her and her producers and shit, from Scott Storch to you name
playing
it,
everything.
Bro, that was discouraging to niggas like us, bro. She thinking like, yeah, of course not. It helped us as far as like traveling and getting the experience. But we sitting in the back of the studio like, we can't do that shit right there, but let's go home. Fool.
And this back in the game wasn't no loops, wasn't no.
Yeah,
they playing all that.
We still don't know how to read music.
This
we play by ear.
Wasn't cool. You know, back remember Fruity Loops wasn't cool, man. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm a fool with y'all because you know Fruity Loops beat making ass nigga. Now that's the whole top 10. So, yeah, but like he said, they threw us in the
deep end, nigga. I'm talking like
the sharks, like. I remember they booked us a studio and we sitting in there like, hell yeah.
imagine being 21, 22 back at that time, 21, 22 with a Triton keyboard. Thinking we got the game. Oh, we finna be
it. We had an FPC by that time.
Yeah, we finna go platinum. And then we sitting in the studio with Toy and like Rodney Jerkins or something. Yeah. Boy, that shit used to be so discouraging, bro. Like, it was amazing and discouraging at the same time because we knew deep down inside, we can't do that shit, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can't fake that.
You can't fake that.
You know what I'm saying? So we had to come back home and go to the drawing board and we was like, man, we just gonna stick to this rap shit right now. That's what we good at.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We just gonna roll with that for right now.
That's really hot, yeah.
Because technically, we was on the road with her. We wouldn't even came back to Houston had we just indulged in what she was going. We was trying to get back home because we were like, all right, that shit too hard over there. We need to go home.
And we in L.A. with it. So it's the top of the top. We was in a studio with J.R.
Everybody,
J.R. Rodham. J.R. Scott Storch.
I can't think of a producer we didn't sit in the studio with.
All these, and these is like, they play keys on the spot. Oh, make a beat on the spot. What the hell you feeling today? Yeah.
How you feeling today? Talking to you, singing while they doing it. We like, nah, we can't do that shit, bro.
They used to throw us in the jungle.
We didn't say that out loud, but we knew.
Sitting there looking at that shit like, yeah, nah, I ain't fucking with it.
I'm y'all fucking with it, but damn, nigga. That's
we
years of. Hey, y'all play some beats.
Left the CD in the car.
Right, I'm going to bring them with me next time.
Yeah, you got the CD? I left the CD on the plane. It used to be like that.
Hell yeah, but that sharpened us, bro. That sharpened us. Because
for sure it did.
We would try to mimic what we saw, and that made us better. You know what I'm saying? Like, we watching what these producers are doing because we had the experience to go sit with Big Sis, or hell, even with Slim. We done met Pharrell a million times with Slim, sat in the studio with them a million times. You know what I'm saying? Like, we was flies on the wall, but that sharpened us. You know what I'm saying? As far as like making us grind harder and really learn what we doing instead of just pressing buttons and making keys. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We took it serious, like serious.
Yeah. I mean, with the Slim thing, even talk about that, because I mean, like you said, y'all were, you know, at the time, y'all were traveling. I remember y'all were telling me just moving around with them and going
between
out
moving around
me and everywhere.
Yeah, well, through Troy is how we met Slim once they started talking. Like, he used to give us tough love. Like, it could have been tough love for him just keeping it real, but that's why I gave you that example from 2001, 2002, all the way to 2007. That's what that 5-year gap is, where we were sharpening our skills. Because niggas like Slim be like, yeah, just because I let y'all niggas hang with me don't mean I'm finna be a yes man. And what I mean,
he
by
like,
that
he's
is,
good at that.
He be like, here, let us come hang because, you know, y'all little bros. I fuck mm-hmm. with Big Sis. Y'all come, I got a studio. Y'all come to my studio. But we would give him beats and shit. And he be like, y'all should just need like some more sounds
yeah, that's,
or something, bro.
I
like,
remember we gave him a BCD. We gave him a BCD. And I went to LA to kick it with my sister and him, or so whatever. You know, I remember them being both in the front seat, but at this time, he's still Slim. You know what I'm saying? He still like, you know, we young, H-Town, and that's Slim. So,
already Platinum Slim.
Yeah, so I'm sitting in the back of the car, and like, I'm like, when you gonna say it? Because he's playing us the Boys in Blue album. And I remember kind of sitting in the back seat, like, as soon as the last song go off, I'm gonna say something. Bruh, you ever got them beats? You know what I'm saying? You got them beats? That boy said, oh yeah, I got them hoes. Man, y'all need some more sounds or something. I don't know what it is, man. Oh, all right, for sure. Yeah, we got to go. I mean, same thing with, shout out to Goo, you and Pop Wild. I remember Pop, they came, I was cool with, we were both cool with Goo. And Goo, we would give Goo beats to send to Pop. And I remember like, this is the Powwow come in days, and it's like, y'all check them beats out. Oh yeah, yeah, he heard them. For sure, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Nah, facts.
Back to the drawing board. So we were around people that we could do stuff with. We was around good managers.
We just didn't have the skill level yet.
We had to come back to the drawing board.
We wasn't developed yet. Like, we was around so much shit early on before we were developed. You know what I'm saying?
Even
that's
Boss
what I think.
Hog, even Boss Hog, we would
they
be.
They was in the deep end with that.
At the Hog Pen,
Mr. Lee, T.A.
T.A. was killing at the time.
Mr. Lee, T.A.
He's getting Mr. Lee, T.A. and Pharrell beats at the time.
Yeah,
consistently. Oh, and DJ Toomp sending them beats, and Drummer Boy sending them beats, and we would be up at the studio. We had a room at the studio, but we would hear like,
we trying to make beats in our room, but he's playing shit from
what he just
Drummer Boy
he just
him
got
in this room.
Him.
We sitting there like, God damn it, man!
It don't even sound right. I mean, it's been times that he's giving us the acapella. We make a beat to it, we like, yeah, we got such such next single, and then he come back and he took the same song over to Lee, and then we'll hear it that night and go, well yeah, Lee probably got that one. You know what I'm saying? Like that's, and it, I mean, the mix would be different, but we were young in the game and we had to kind of learn it, bro. You just gotta really work. I remember asking OGs, even Lee sometimes, shout out to Mr. Lee, he'll
big homie,
you want
sure.
You want him to show you something, and they kind of like, bro, you just gotta do, how you make your kicks? I'm like, man, you just gotta do it. You just gotta do it. And you know, when you're young, you feel like somebody hating. Like, man, you just don't want, man, you know, man, you just see us as competition. Nah, I get it now. When you talk,
you got to get in there, you got to, yeah.
You got to get in here and do it and figure it out, because that's how he do it.
I can't tell you how to do it. It just comes from,
and you gonna find your own, really, your own way you wanted to go. And yeah, the way I might EQ it and do this, you might not want to, you know.
Facts. We still figuring it out, though.
Yeah, we ain't like stopped learning.
Say
20 years later, we still learning,
it,
bro.
You say you figured it out. I said, man, we still figuring it out. Mm-hmm. You gotta figure
even
it out.
Even the newer producers that's up now, and they still look at us like, man, y'all still at it. It's like, yeah, bro, we still learning every day. Well, ain't right. Nothing stop.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, talk about the King and the Boss album, bro, because y'all, you know.
I know y'all never came through. Technically, it came out. Partially,
yeah.
It came out partially, but it didn't come out in full. But yeah, man, we created that whole album from scratch. We made the beats on the spots, did the songs on the spots, and it took us about 2 months to do that whole project.
Good nights, though. That was some good nights, because you got
three sessions a week.
Yep.
Because they would come every other day, so three sessions a week for a good 2-3 months straight. And those sessions would be from 7 o'clock at night to 4 or 5 in the morning.
Right.
Yeah, everything was made from scratch. Everything was created right there on the spot. But it never came out as a whole project. It came out in pieces. Like, I think Zero had some label issues he was dealing with at the time. Slim didn't have anything. It couldn't come out. Slim started taking the songs like one by one. And, well, I got an album getting ready to come out. I'm gonna use this song for this album.
Like Summertime and Loving You.
That was for King and the Boss. And then with Slim, you know, at this time Slim was dropping like a project every 2-3 months. So he would grab a song or two from King and the Boss. I'm gonna throw it over here. Next project, do the same thing. I'm gonna take these songs since they just sitting there, put them on this project. And then before you know it, all the songs that came out. Just never came out in full. Yeah. That would have been a bad motherfucker though.
It was jamming, man. I remember y'all was making that thing, man. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, this shit gonna be jamming. It just never came.
I liked the vibe though. It was studio vibe. Like we got a session, but we really was getting in there. Just, you know, that was back when we had the studio crib. So we was like in the closet with it.
It wasn't grinding, million dollar
studios and nothing like that. It was
sometimes the AC wasn't working in there. We sweating that motherfucker.
AC not working sometimes. Hell, at the time, this is at the grind mode. We was making, in your career, you go on the money. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm trying to make sure the lights stay on for the next session. Having fun, you know, ain't no checks being cut yet, but we was really just loving what we doing. You know what I'm saying? Doing it like that. And it was a hell of an experience. Watching both of them work together, watching how they get along, watching how talented both of them are, but even watching I didn't know Zero could sing like that. Yeah. Until you start recording them, you know what I'm saying? Like, you want to say, that nigga was in the choir. He in the choir. Like, you know, as a kid or something, like, because he talented.
He get in there, he gonna give you all your melodies, man.
Zero might have 62 tracks of harmonies.
Facts. That was good, yeah. Now, that was a good time in life, though, but I feel like we learned a lot. I feel like we learned a lot at that time. You know what I'm saying? Just being around them too. Period.
Yeah. That was a time, man. Damn. Time fly, bro.
Yeah.
Time fly.
That was like 10 years ago, damn it.
It don't even feel like it, but yeah. Time fly, bro. That shit crazy.
Talk about, cause that, I mean, even with...
Because at that time, bro, yeah, we was... It wasn't even about the money. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't even about it. We were just having fun because we was learning. And it felt good learning because we can see the progress we was making. Hell, we in here working on Slim and Zero's album. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was fun. That was a fun time.
Man, talk about because even y'all had with the sauce thing, man. I remember early on, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Y'all coming around my talking about the sauce thing.
Yeah, that's fam.
Right there. Yeah, for sure.
We the unofficial TSF members. Nah, for real. But so we met Walk. We actually met Walk a few times prior to him getting bigger.
First time was a producer panel. It was a producer panel. And we were talking at the producer panel, and all of a sudden, a guy in the back of the room is like, you know, you get to the producer panel, and it's like, anybody got questions? You know, one person, hey, how do I get my music heard? How do I, hey, who should I talk to about this? And then you hear one guy in the back, I got a question. Y'all ever heard of the sauce? And no, fella.
Nah,
but I'm sure it's crazy. You know what I'm saying? And then from then on, he made himself known, and I remember we running into them at South by Southwest one year, and I remember just we walking and a camera jumped in my face and I saw Walk, you know what I'm saying? And the first thing I said was, yeah, Sauce. You know how somebody put a camera in your face, he'd be like, yeah, well, get money, click. You don't know what to say. I'm like, yeah, man, that's the Sauce, man. Ooh, we look. I remember from the producer panel, and he has that about him. You can put him in a car, you put him in a room, and you know what I'm saying? He gonna do it himself. So I know that's the first, I'm gonna say the first time we encountered.
And then we started inviting bro to the studio with us.
Yep.
And then we started inviting, mind you, this is still before the world was on the sauce. He didn't even have Too Legit out at this time or nothing. So he actually looked at us like, okay, these are two producers in Houston that are known. They fucking with me. So I'm gonna fuck with them. So he used to pull up to the studio.
You put on One Deep there first.
Yeah, man. The first time you pull up by yourself. You know what I'm saying? And then he started bringing out other group members. But then we got locked in with him. So what we did to play a small role in their career, we said, I know how to get these boys some exposure. We got Slim in our back pocket. We just get Slim to do a song and shoot a video with him, and boom, niggas get some exposure. And that's exactly what we did.
Everybody.
Yo Gotti had a song called Everybody Out at the time. And the instrumental, this was back when niggas used to freestyle on instrumentals days. So boom, Yo Gotti had this song, Everybody came out. It was the newest beat that niggas can think of, like what instrumental should I do? Boom, so Slim did a freestyle to the Everybody. Say, shit, we'll put Sauce and them on that and shoot a video. So got Sauce and them on it, Sauce, JP, and Sancho shot a video. And when I tell you, 24 hours later, them niggas had a career going. Like, people were like, who the fuck is them niggas? Who them niggas is?
They stopped playing the Yo Gotti song.
It got that big to where the Yo Gotti song was so new that in our region here in Houston and the surrounding areas, we wasn't playing his version. We was playing Sauce and Slim version. And that actually was an issue, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, that song right there is what kind of got Sauce Walk and them like going as far as like getting a worldwide exposure.
I remember that.
They was already rapping and had mixtapes out before that.
It's just crazy though, cause it's like, bro, we talking about like that don't seem like that long ago, but we talking about like really damn near 10 years.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. It was a minute ago. Like,
at least 8-9 years for sure. You know what I'm saying?
But look how much they've grown.
Since
look how much all of us, including you, done grown.
Yeah, we've all grown, bro.
And then we think we, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, nah, it's a trip. Nah, you're right. You're right. Man, talk about the Boosie shit. How did Boosie shit happen, man?
Man, shout out Big
when
Bro.
When he had cancer or something?
That's crazy. Yeah. He came out here when he got out of jail. Yeah, got cancer, diagnosed with cancer. We have MD Anderson out here, which is like the top cancer center in America. So he came out here to get, you know, get his cancer removed or whatever. And throughout that whole chemo process and everything, it required him to be living in Houston for like 3-4 months. So he reached out to Slim and was like, hey, bro, I'm going to be out here for a couple months, bro. I need a studio I can record at. You know what? Somebody with a studio? Slim was like, yeah, call my producers. Slim gave him the number, he called. And we've been locked in ever since.
Yep. And
for the first 3 days that we worked with him, we were his engineers. He didn't know who we were from a can of paint.
What the other one at?
He didn't know we were studio owners, whatever. He just knew, okay, y'all the niggas with the studio. Y'all the engineers? I bet. Come record me.
If one ain't in the chair and the other one is, hey, one of what? Tell one of them to come in. Like
he don't know. At this time. He didn't know the difference. He would call us both G&B. Yeah. Hey G&B. Yeah. Hey G&B. He don't know who is who.
Yeah.
So the first 3 days we recording them just being engineers. On that fourth day, he come in the studio just like clockwork. His engineer's supposed to load the beats up. They roll Boosie in his wheelchair, load him in the booth, and he in that motherfucker for 8 hours. This particular day, on that fourth day, the engineer didn't have the beats. And Boosie, it's like his team worked like a machine. Everybody's supposed to, like, somebody's supposed to have, they know what time he's supposed to eat every day. Somebody knows what time he needs to take his shots. And they know when we get in the studio, he likes to go straight in the booth and get started. All that's supposed to be already ready. So this particular day, the beat's not loaded up. So he's sitting in the booth like, what's up?
Why ain't playing that?
So he go off. You ain't sending the motherfucking beats? Oh, man, I'm in the studio now. You got me wasting my time. I ain't got my beat, blah, 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 blah. So we sitting there like, shit.
I got some shit in that booth.
We got some beats. Man, play them bitches. Just like that. And from the first beat we played.
Real nigga.
Yeah,
real nigga, the song he got with.
The first beat we played.
Mm-hmm. That was the first
beat.
They
loaded up. He did the beat. Got out the booth. Play me another. Damn, load that bitch up too.
It was a
got out the booth. And, yeah, after that, we did like 17 straight songs with the nigga.
17 straight songs.
And he paid for all them motherfuckers right there on the spot.
No shit.
Hell yeah.
Imagine that.
On the spot. By his pocket. And nigga right then and there. And he said, oh yeah, y'all coming with me.
He left a stamp on us now.
Yeah, all right.
He left a little stamp on us.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
and now shit, when he come out here, I mean,
this. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's bro. We been in his house, slept in his house like family. He treat a lot of people like family.
Yeah, when we go to Atlanta, we booked no hotel. We stay with him. He got like 25 bedrooms.
147 bedrooms.
It seemed like it. Motherfucker, that big.
Yeah.
That shit big, bro. But, yeah, we built that relationship based off him during his chemo process.
I feel like too, his worth ethic.
And then he liked too how we operate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of people do like that about us, how we operate our business, you know what I'm saying? He felt safe, he felt comfortable.
Yeah, when I had a studio you could just pull up at. We'll leave our own partners outside if you ain't called first. And they all know that. They'll probably laugh when they hear that. Okay, if it's rain, storm, and hell, my phone died. You get to a payphone, call somebody, go to my house. Because it's safety. You know what I'm saying? So we don't allow. If somebody's on the camera standing at the door, man, who? That's for you? That's for you? And we both gonna get back to what we doing. We'll leave you outside unless you talk to us. So we don't have one of them kind of studios where it's like, we just gonna pull up over there, see what they got going. We got into it with many artists over.
And you know, we got thousands of beats. That's another thing he likes too. He's like, y'all got unlimited beats. Y'all just ain't stop playing beats.
Nope. Anytime you do an interview about us, he say that. He'll be like, man.
Ain't nobody got more beats than G&B.
Ain't nobody, man. Yeah. it's Gusto. What's the name of them? I heard this. Did they heard this? He can rap on all them joints for sure.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Do y'all boys have a favorite like record y'all did?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Favorite record that we did.
Well, that's good. Look at
feet, look, personal
hands
favorite.
Hands crossed. You know what I'm saying? Hands, you know, feet crossed.
Well, man, I'm going to say this. I ain't gonna say favorite record. I know a record that definitely does mean a lot is Ride With No Ceiling, because that was literally the beginning. That was the first time. Every time
that was our first real radio record. Yeah,
you heard it. You know when something's happening, you don't realize it's happening. Like, oh yeah, I'm sitting somewhere, somebody behind me.
Yeah,
got it as the ringtone. You know what I'm saying?
So and we was handing it out of town. Yeah, that's what was fucking us up too. Like they was signed to Geffen when they did that, so they had a little exposure. It wasn't just a regional record, you know what I'm saying? So that was another thing.
I ain't gonna say that's the favorite best song we've ever made.
That's just the one that kind of like
the one that kind of made us say,
okay,
yeah, we probably doing this. Yeah, we doing this.
That's the best one. That's the first time we saw a real check. Like, oh, that's for us.
Nigga, bet. Yeah, for sure. And it gave us a lot of attention. It started getting us stuff.
Oh yeah, the phones kept ringing after that.
Phones was ringing, and yeah, to the point, yeah. Everywhere you went, we heard it, and it was like, all right, so we need to do way more of this. And the fact that that beat was made like 2 years prior, we was gonna sell it for like $300 to somebody to pay a bill. Like, you know what I'm saying? We don't think nothing of it. And then they call one day and say, hey, Ray Collins, like, hey, don't sell this one because I think J Dog got a song to it, not knowing that it's the single at the time. You know what I'm saying? You know, they gonna play it to the left. Play to the left. I mean, we might use this one tonight, but we still turned up then. It's Boys in Blue, man. Y'all use it. Let's go down. And then next thing you know, that's the single.
It was all over BET. I remember that.
It was on BET.
So then I go Ride With No Ceiling too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that was the start of everything.
So it woke us up.
Yeah. It made us take it serious. Like, we can make some money with this shit.
We need
it.
Okay.
For sure.
Ego.
Yeah. Hell yeah. What's it, man? What's next, fellas?
A lot, man.
What is
I like working with all the newer artists too. The newer artists be giving us, they bring a different side of us out. I like that. Shout out Lil Jeremy. We just
Lil Jeremy, yeah. Y'all did do Lil Jeremy. Yeah,
dropped. Yeah. We did Can't Dress Me with Lil Key. We co-produced that with Too Dope. He out of Atlanta, part of 808 Mafia.
He did the sexy.
Yeah, Too Sexy for Future and Drake. Yeah. He made that beat. So we co-produced with him on that Can't Dress Me. Lil Jeremy. And then we did the Codeine Dreams with Rallo with Lil Jeremy on Gas Guard 1. Yeah.
Jeremy going up for sure.
Jeremy doing his thing. I had him up there. He definitely doing his thing.
Yeah, Jeremy going up.
We working with everybody though, bro. I don't think it's like, especially in the city.
That's why it's hard tonight. Cause we
working.
To
we I think we working with everybody right now. From Al.
They somebody that's gonna run through. D-Baby, D-Flowers, YB Puerto Rico, Fastlane,
OT, that Mexican OT,
Propane, playing with
Drody.
Yeah.
It's hard to name everybody, but I think we working with everybody right now. And we spreading it out. We do a lot of work with Jay Fizzle, Paper Out, Jimbo out of Florida. Yeah, that's homie. Man, we got a lot of shit coming, bro.
Jimbo,
it's
kind
of hard to explain everything off the top of memory. But yeah, we got some shit.
Yeah, I know.
And then we putting the albums together ourselves.
In the process of doing all that, as much songs we do with other people, you know, we collect songs too. So people always ask if we gonna put together some, and it's like it's already
been collecting.
Yeah,
we've been collecting songs for a while.
Yeah, we got a lot of.
We got an album that we've been holding. I Spill the Beans, Lil Jeremy and Peso. They got a duo album that we produced. It'll come out soon. We trying to get some video shot right now.
That's what's up, man.
But that's going to be our first project. That's a project that we putting out.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our first project going to probably be the Jeremy and Peso collab album.
Trying to get to that side of doing things. It's work, though. It's our work. We get to be able to wake up every morning and do that.
And still feel the same after all these years of doing it, though, too.
I ain't saying ain't never been no challenges now. You know, it been hard, tough, but when you love something, you gonna, I'm saying, work through it. So,
for sure.
Yeah, I can't say every day we want to wake up and go do that. You know what I'm saying? But the fact that we get to, I'm gonna probably forever be doing this or doing something in the entertainment business for sure.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. But shit, man, I appreciate y'all boys coming through, man.
Yes, sir. Man, appreciate you having us, my brother.
I feel like we're well. Yeah,
congrats to everything you got going on too, bro.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. I tell you, I talking about when us. We first came right there. I said, man, I want to sit right here because I got some questions for Donnie.
Yeah, facts.
Motherfucking ass.
Yeah.
Whenever y'all want to swap it up,
nigga, where is it at? Nah, we known Donnie for a long time, y'all.
Yeah, very long time.
Very, very long time. And I'm glad we took our time to even, you know, link up. And I feel like this ain't gonna be our last interview.
It ain't
with you.
You know, the thing is, bro, I haven't brought y'all the first people I done brought on is like partners of mine. Like this shit really been me about me. Like
probably never did one yet, huh?
Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody. I think that's nobody. Genuine though.
The thing is that it's a, you know, I've just been like meeting people. Like a lot of times, like when you watch, well, damn near every time you watch this shit, you seeing me meet people for the first time.
Yeah.
Having
their
first conversation. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Now I done did that. Now I'm coming back around. It's so, right. Like, now I can bring my partners around. We come around. This whole clown do regular
right,
shit.
Right.
You know
right.
What I'm saying?
I think
right.
It's a good thing because you're extremely intelligent in everything you do with music. You research what you do. When you on your producer side, y'all know he make beats, right?
Yeah, for sure.
On his producer side, like you find the way you find samples and the way you this and that, it's all to me like strategic. Is that what I'm saying?
I appreciate
like,
that.
You know what I'm saying? Like you, I feel like you study everything you do. So I knew when I saw you doing this, it was like, oh yeah, Donnie gonna go up doing that because you sit there and read up on somebody and then it's easy to interview them. Now us, you ain't got to read up on because you was there for everything that we talking about.
No bullshit.
Pretty much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We met Propane, shout out Propane. You was there.
No, we was doing our shit.
Y'all was doing y'all thing. So yeah, nah, for sure. Yeah. That's good.
Goddamn Donnie.
DJ Dunn in the motherfucking building.
What you used to say, rousing not too much dazzle.
Hey, man, a little rousing not too much dazzle, man. You know what I'm saying? Hey.
Why they use that so many times? People thought it was mine.
And I got it from another nigga.
Got it from another nigga.
You should be mentioning everybody's
shout
shit.
Shout out to that boy, man. But I got it from my sister, man. One of her friends married this cat. You know what I'm saying? We was finna go out one time. And that boy, we finna leave the crib. You couldn't get the last little round of drink though. You know, before you do your last little round of drink before you leave the house. Like, hey man, what shit, you know, what you want? You want some ice? He say, little razzle, not too much dazzle. I said, you know what, nigga, I just stole that one from you.
I know, I done broke that out in the room for the people who caught some laughs.
Oh, man, come on, man. People, that shit, that done took it. It got a life of its own, man. Niggas really think that's my shit. I'm like, nah, bro.
That shit done got me back indoors. Oh, man, you funny, man. You funny, man. That wasn't mine.
Yeah, nah, a little razzing, not too much dazzle. But yeah, you know, this definitely ain't the last one. You know what I'm saying? We gonna go to the studio. We gotta do that, show y'all how y'all done renovated the spot. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Y'all got that shit looking live and crazy over there. You know? But hell yeah. It's going down, man. It's Donnie's Podcast, GMB.
Yeah.
Hey man, we up out of here.
Yes, sir.